Michael Smith, we've been on the road a lot. Do you know what today is?
Nope.
It's Canes Cast Day.
It's actually, well, it's not our usual Canes Cast Day. Again, here we are later in the week. We recorded, what, Friday of last week?
Yes.
Missed Monday because I think, as some viewers have noted on the broadcast, your voice is not at, peak performance
level.
No,
it is not, but I feel fine. So for everyone's concern, thank you very much. I'm not sick. I haven't been sick. I just lost my voice somewhere. And, you know, it happens sometimes with me with airplane travel. I lose my voice.
And we've had enough of it. Really long flight. I mean, you know, flying out to Vancouver yesterday, flying back across the country to Buffalo. So we've logged a lot of miles in the air.
Well, let me just put it in these terms. We really don't know what day it is, just game day.
Like, right.
That's either, where we're at right now.
It's either a game day or not a game day. And today was not a game day. We're recording this on Thursday, December 14th from snowy Buffalo. Quite a change from the weather we saw in Southern California and even Vegas.
Well, you know, Buffalo is the Vegas of, the East. A lot of people aren't aware of that. And
I think I can see a casino from here.
Yeah, there is one or two or a few. But instead of the sand turning to gold, Buffalo is saying is the snow turns to gold.
Right. So we
But don't touch that snow. That's from a guy who grew up here.
So we apologize for not getting you this Canes Cast earlier in the week. I know
My voice was not good enough to do this.
So
and I don't want us to post something and have everybody go, "Man, that sounded garbage."
We did catch some flack from a brother of a specific Hurricanes equipment manager. We won't name names.
But it sounds an awful lot like Mick Valves.
Yeah.
So if you can't figure that out, there's nothing more we can do. But we apologize to Mick Valves for being late. And we apologize to all of you guys for doing this. But my voice is a little bit better.
A little bit.
Smitty's voice is all the same. A little bit. Thank you, Michael. but here we are. And we have a win to talk about. And
yeah.
By the way, that was not strategic planning. It just worked out, in the words of Chuck Caton.
Wow.
Miraculously, my voice has returned.
Crowd noise only.
That's been a big part of all of this, that we just want to put out a quality product for you as best we can. And the good part for us is we do have a lot to talk about between now and when this trip started a year and a half ago. At least it feels like that. So I'm going to break this down. We're not going to do the, you know, I'm going to send this over to you. And if you like it, take it.
And if not, send it right back.
We're not doing that.
Okay.
But we're going to play a little thing called the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
So let's go with the good. I think that there's been a lot of good periods of hockey from the Carolina Hurricanes on this trip. I really think the only game where they weren't as good as they should have been from start to finish was the first game, Vancouver.
Yep.
You know, that was one of those games we've seen before where flinging pucks. But good, my goodness, how good were they in the first period against the San Jose Sharks? How good were they in the third period in 3.5 minutes of overtime against the LA Kings? You know, they were good in spurts against Anaheim. I think that was one of those inconsistent games, but they were good in places. And then you go to Las Vegas, and Cam Ward was good. He gets his 300th victory. The team in front of him was very good. They win in a shootout. A whole lot of good to take out of Las Vegas. And the number one thing is Cam Ward's 300, which he will be joining us here on this podcast in maybe one of our best and weirdest interviews ever done.
Definitely weird. But yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. It was a frustrating road trip early on for this team because of that inconsistency, because the team did feel like, and it was justified, the team felt like it was playing fairly well, you know, but it wasn't put together for a full 60 minutes. You know, that San Jose game is a good example of that, where the Hurricanes jump out to an early 3-0 lead. They have a 4-1 lead in the second period, a 4-2 lead heading into the third period, and just can't seem to put it together in that final 20 or overtime. The Los Angeles game, it wasn't, I don't think, you know, the team played pretty well through the first 40, but they started to get really, really
yes.
good chances there in the third period and were able to connect on them, obviously.
Going to the front of the net, a lot in that third period.
And had puck possession in overtime, probably not the chances they would have liked, but puck possession at least. And then nearly got the game to a shootout. And Anaheim, it was another one of those tight one-goal games. So that's when you look to Tuesday in Vegas, another closely matched tie game heading into the third period. And the Hurricanes were able to bear down and find a way to win in the shootout.
And again, let's talk about the highlight from that. Cam Ward's 300th victory. And there's a lot we can say about Cam Ward, the goaltender, a lot we can say about Cam Ward, the man off of the ice. And for a lot of people, he's the much maligned goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes. That's something that, Michael, I've covered the team. I think this is my 12th season covering the team in some capacity. For you, this is what I believe the 6th, maybe 7th.
Yeah.
So I've never understood let's pin the tail on this one guy, especially in hockey, other than the fact that I know goalie, much like a pitcher, much like a quarterback, it's easy to pin blame on when things aren't going right. And I'm not saying that Cam Ward's a Hall of Fame goalie and, reserve a spot for him in Toronto and that he is the best of this generation. But I've always felt he was better than what he was given the credit for. And if we're being honest, and I know this is the Canes cast and we try to stay positive, there were a lot of teams in front of him that maybe weren't that good. There were a lot of injuries that he tried to play through where he wasn't 100%. And I think to getting to the milestone of 300 wins, the 32nd man to do it, that's an elusive and exclusive club to get into for goalies. Like, the funny thing to me is when I heard that, I'm like, really, only 32 guys did it? I would have thought more because, when hockey started, goalies played every game. But to get to that number, that's a testament to him. He has, and we can split hairs on what overtime losses and shootout losses and all those things mean, but he is an above 500 goalie in the NHL record books and how they measure this. So I think for him to get win 300, especially how it was lost in San Jose, two shorthanded goals, two power play goals. The shorthand goals are breakaways. That's a 50-50 coin flip.
Yeah.
So I am very happy that Cam Ward got that milestone out of the way, and he gets it out of the way in a season where he takes a different role, where he's a backup goaltender, Michael.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the San Jose game. I think the team definitely heading into that Vegas game was mindful of, Wardo probably should have had that 300th win a few days back in California. So, I think there was definitely some extra maybe motivation there, not only to get the first win of the road trip and get 2 points and swing some momentum your way, but also get Wardo his 300th win, and they were able to do so in an extended shootout. Brock McGinn, huge credit to him for, all the pressure's on him at that point. And he made a great move and scored a goal to continue the shootout. And then, of course, Phil DiGiuseppe with a fantastic move to beat Marc-Andre Fleury, and then a great celebration, I thought. I wish more guys would celebrate like that, quite honestly. You win a game in the National Hockey League, you celebrate like it.
Yeah, show some emotion is good, especially in hockey.
I love it. For Cam Ward to get his 300th, we knew it was gonna happen sometime around then, based on when he's played this year. He's been utilized a lot in back to backs. The Hurricanes using their depth properly. Sounds like the same thing's gonna happen this weekend with a game in Buffalo on Friday, followed by a game in Raleigh against Columbus on Saturday. Sounds like the Hurricanes will again use both their goaltenders. That's an advantage they have. I think it's an advantage that's worked for Cam Ward. I think he's been fresh every time he's taken the crease. I think he's looked good night in, night out. He's given the Hurricanes a chance to win every time he's been in net. And that's really all you can ask of your backup goaltender. And Cam Ward, like you said, has accepted that role as the team's backup this year. And I think he's thrived in it.
Well, how much of it, Michael? And I'm just going to ask you, because you grew up in North Carolina as a fan of this team, watching this team. The cup run is really what got you into hockey, which you've said many times. How much of it is the fact that, he's not an analytics darling? When you look at the numbers outside of the win total, people will always look at and be able to poke a hole. But if I take a look at what the Hurricanes goaltenders have had through his stint, there have been some good numbers posted. I think Anton Khudobin had a good year with a save percentage of above .920 or close to it. But it's never been a team where the goalies' numbers have popped off of the charts, because while the Canes don't give up a lot of shots, especially now under Bill Peters, When they do, what does Bill Peters say? What kind of shots do they give up?
They're humdingers.
You know, yeah. Those are grade A. So and if you're giving up grade A chances on 20 shots a night and seven of them are from the garden spot, you're really asking your goalie to stand on his head a lot more. And that's everybody. That's why Scott Darling's numbers are down right now. So if people want to start getting on that train, folks, you know, yes, Chicago gave up more shots, but where did they give up those shots? That's what you have to look at. And we can look at all these beautiful numbers that the analytics people put out in these mosaics that look like Jackson Pollocks. And if you can truly understand him, good for you. That's great. But at the same time, he's facing fewer shots with the Carolina Hurricanes. The problem is they're from the spots that create what kind of chances?
Humdingers.
There you go.
You're getting worked up. You're going to lose your voice again.
It's worth it for this. It really is because, you know, again, there's more than one way to look at this. And I'm not saying that everything has to be the old days. And let me tell you, Sonny, about how hockey should be played with a bag of knuckles and pucks. And then it's the people who are like, well, my data is telling me that statistically 3.567 repeating is the time you should make the save. And I'm like, whatever, combine them together. We can live together in one hockey community.
Live together.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Not alone.
Let's live in harmony.
Yeah.
I'm trying to unite us, not divide us. Why are you putting a wedge in this thing?
Yeah, I mean.
Speaking of wedge, Star Wars coming up.
Oh.
Good drop in for you. All right, I'm done. That's my rant.
Okay.
I need to save my voice. That's my rant.
Yeah, well, I just think, you know, it was a good night for, when you look back at that Tuesday night in Vegas, it was a good night for Cam Ward personally to get his 300th win. Jeff Skinner, he made a beeline towards the net to scoop that puck up. I think gave Wardo a face wash and then dropped it in his glove. And actually, we will get to that in a few seconds. You'll find out what Cam Ward is going to do with that puck from his 300th win. A good night for him. A good night for the team, you know, from a momentum standpoint, to be able to get the first win of the road trip, get 2 points. And now you're in a situation where if you can beat the Sabres on Friday, you're looking at a road trip that earns 6 of a possible 12 points. While that's not, you know, where we wanted to ballpark it, it's still not bad for the longest road trip of the year. The Hurricanes aren't going to lose any ground. They might not gain the ground that we really wanted to see, but they're not going to lose any ground. It's not too bad. There's still a chance to make this road trip palatable with a win on Friday.
Speaking of Cam Ward, should we talk to him right now?
Yeah.
I know it's only been a few days, but has it sunk in that you've joined a pretty elite group of players in the National Hockey League with your 300th win?
Yeah, I mean, just seeing all the texts and phone calls I received after, and it's something that I'm proud of. You know, you look at that list, it's a pretty exceptional list, and hopefully I could keep climbing up that list as we move on here, but certainly very thankful for, you know, the opportunities I've been given here in this organization. I appreciate it more knowing that it's been with the same organization and I take part in that.
Well, you're also, I was going to say, part of an even smaller list of that. You're one of, I think, 7 guys who's only won 300 with one team. You know, what does that say when you think of the teammates that you've had here in Carolina and how you've watched hockey build in this area and you're a big part of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. I mean, it's getting to be a long time now, but certainly I wouldn't change anything. I mean, I absolutely love, you know, the community of Raleigh and the support that, you know, they've given me along the way. And like you said, you come across a lot of teammates, a lot of coaches even for that matter, and a lot of people help you to get to the point that you're at.
And when you look back at your 300th win, a big win for you personally, but also a big win for the team. What did that getting 2 points in Vegas mean for this club?
Well, it's huge. I mean, we've been on this road trip for now, 10, 11 days, and we're still looking for our first win in Vegas, and you know, we need to build off something like that. I mean, I thought we've shown some good hockey as of late, and just haven't been able to get the results. And you know, Vegas to get the result that we were looking for is definitely a confidence booster heading here to Buffalo. So hopefully we can end this trip on a good note tomorrow.
You stopped Lemieux, Palfy, and Crosby in your first NHL win. Your 300th NHL win went a bit longer in the shootout, but kind of weird how that happens, isn't it?
It is. I mean, still to this day, that first NHL start against Pittsburgh is still the most memorable game that I've one of the most memorable games that I've played in, and definitely a little different lineup as far as shooters, you know, playing one of the greatest hockey players of all time in Mario Lemieux. But, yeah, it's kind of ironic how things work out by getting the winning shootout in Vegas.
When you look at this team this year and how things have kind of changed in the National Hockey League, how gratifying has this season been to the point of when you've gotten in, you've given this team a chance to win every single night, Cam?
Yeah, I mean, that's my job, right? I mean, as part of being a goaltender, you got to give your team an opportunity to win, and sometimes you have it better nights than others, but, you know, I've embraced the role that I've been given and trying to make the most of it when called upon, and I think, you know, it starts in practice and staying to, you know, sharp physically there, and then mentally being prepared to knowing that you might not get as many starts, but you know, I'm certainly still having fun, enjoying it, and coming to the rink with these great group of guys.
What's the key to staying sharp? I mean, can we give Billy Bernestein some credit on this, or I mean, it is a different role. So how do you stay as sharp as you would have normally?
Well, I think, you know, Mike Bales and I have really clicked too, and you know, it also has been Bill Bernestein, and I've never been have to emphasize practice the way that I have right now, and it's helped me keep sharp. Can you turn the camera that way or no?
Yeah, like, yeah, no, we can do that. Oh.
He's got the headphones on. He can't hear us, I don't think.
No, he can't. By the way, for people who are listening in on the podcast, we would like to thank Elias Lindholm and Joakim Nordstrom for stepping out of the Terminator and filling in as bodyguards for Cam Ward. But, you know, how much fun is it still? Because that's been your mantra, have fun. How much fun is it still to play this game? I mean, you're still a young guy, but you've been playing this for a while.
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, the people that you surround yourself with. I mean, there's no secret that we got a great group of guys in here. But you know, winning is fun too, and I mean, obviously we're striving to get on a roll here and, you know, climb the standings. And but hey, at the end of the day, I'm still playing a game for a living, and certainly appreciate that.
How have you been able to embrace the support of your teammates, coaching staff, and family over the years to get you to this point where you are now?
Well, I think it's something that you need. I mean, you need your family, you need your friends and your teammates. To get through the, you know, the good and the bad times. I mean, like I said, it's one thing to be playing a game for a living, but we do go through a lot of travel and stress, and you know, I guess that's the longer you get on in this league, it begins to get a little bit harder on the road. But you know, we stick together as a group, and you know, pick each other up.
I know there's some milestones and, you know, mementos along the way you pick up, like the puck from your first win, the puck from your 300th win. Who gets them, or is there a special place in the Ward household for those things?
I usually give them to my son now, Nolan, but he probably just wants to play mini sticks with them. Doesn't really care, but yeah, I mean, I like to collect it. I think, you know, for the 300th, I was going to keep my stick and take that home and put it part of my collection. Just a small little thing to remind me, you know, when I get old and gray.
Was there a certain bottle or vintage waiting for this day for you? For people who don't know, you are a winemaker, you are a connoisseur of the fine grapes. So was there something waiting for you?
I'm sure there'll be a nice one when we get home. You know, I know my wife and my family wanted to be there in Vegas but couldn't be, so I know she's anxiously waiting at home to help celebrate, but I think we got a game you know, when we get home too, so I might have to wait till Sunday. Don't worry, Caniacs.
Cam, congratulations on 300. You've earned it. And by the way, talking to a couple of players about you this year, whenever I ask thoughts on Cam Ward, that it's ice water in the veins. Where does that come from, the ice water in the veins? Shouldn't you get – aren't goalies supposed to be weird and nervous and all this stuff before games?
I don't know. I guess someone gave us a bad reputation a long time ago, and it's kind of stuck. But maybe I'll just try to change that reputation. But no, I mean, that's just, you know, I don't forget my roots, and you want to be humble along the way, and you know, I feel like I play better when I'm calmer, to be honest. You know, when I'm just relaxed and letting the puck come to you, it seems like it comes a little slower.
So what the listeners didn't see during that interview, which you'll be able to also see on Fox Sports Carolinas during Friday's broadcast from Buffalo, was Elias Lindholm and Joakim Nordstrom sporting some pretty cool-looking shades.
They were purple Oakleys, to my best guess.
Yeah.
And I quite enjoyed the look. And they enjoyed it, too.
Yeah. And, you know, they made us laugh a little bit, made Cam Ward laugh a little bit. It's just, you know, after the team wins, they loosen up a bit, and it's nice to see. It's nice to have that levity, because I think the guys play better, you know, when there's a little looseness in the room versus when, you know, as they say, the old cliche, might be squeezing the sticks a little too tight. So it's good to have a loose room. I think the win made the flight back across the country yesterday a bit better. And it was a long flight, too. It took us some time. Ooh.
Winning makes everything better.
Punch the light here.
Well, that's thinking about that.
You don't know flight. Your own strength.
Just thinking about that flight. By the way, we're in the panic room of hotel rooms here in Buffalo for you. Can't open up Michael Smith's door.
And
I'm punching lights.
And when I walked in yesterday, the thermostat said it was 90 degrees in my room.
Did it feel like 90
it
degrees?
It felt hot. And the engineers came in. They were like, whoa, it's hot in here. I was like, yeah, that's why you're here. Fix it, please.
Could you not turn it down?
I tried to, and it wasn't working.
Okay.
But now it is, because we're in here now. And it's comfortable.
Yeah, this is a very comfortable temperature you have it at.
Yeah.
Just wanted to put that out there. It's more of a relaxed setting here on Canes Cast episode 21, Return of My Voice. I don't know.
Sort of.
Come up with, whatever. Easier for me to sound like Yoda if you want me to.
No? I mean, it snowed last night when we got in. Not snowing anymore, though.
No, it's bright and sunny. It's cold.
It's really cold.
All right. Well, let's get to one of the things we traditionally do right after we have an interview. It's time for us to play a little game. If you like it,
take it.
You can take it. And if not,
send it right back.
So you're never prepared for this.
Nope.
Let me get the first question out of the way. Can we call this a successful road trip with a win against the Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah, I'll take that. I think it's successful to a point, you know, because as we said before going on the road trip, you'd really like to see the Hurricanes finish above Hockey 500 on the trip. A win gets them exactly to Hockey 500, 2-2-2. That's 6 points out of a possible 12. That's fine. You know, it's playing 500 on the road in the NHL, especially if you can then finish above 500 at home, isn't bad. You would have liked to see the Hurricanes get maybe 8-9 points out of this road trip. And the frustrating thing was that they were certainly available. You look at the San Jose game, that's probably one the Hurricanes should have taken that second point in. Even the LA game, that's one where the Hurricanes could have snagged another point in. So a few points left on the table, and from that standpoint, some things you want to fix, some things you want to clean up. But if you get the win tomorrow night, 6 out of 12, it's not bad. It could be better, but it's not bad considering how it started.
I'm going to send it back.
Oh, okay.
Because I think San Jose should have been a win. I think Los Angeles was a dynamite comeback, and the way overtime was played should have been a win. And, Michael, if we look at the standings, the Hurricanes, depending on what the result of the Flyers-Sabres game is tonight, and however that plays out, the Canes, even if they beat the Sabres tomorrow night, they're still going to be tied with Philadelphia for last place in the Metro Division, or I can be positive, for seventh place in the Metro Division.
Right, but they're still only 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Understood.
And that illustrates just how competitive and talented this Metropolitan Division is. I think you are going to see some things change. I mean, Pittsburgh's currently out of a playoff spot.
Yes.
I don't know if that ends up.
They have 35 points, but they have played one more game than the Rangers.
So I don't know if that ends up, you know, the way it is. I think New Jersey's fallen off a tad bit from the start they had, but they had such a good start that they created some separation. So yeah, you know, the Hurricanes are going to technically be last in the Metropolitan Division, but because of the way,
well, I mean, if Buffalo beats Philadelphia, they'll move in front of Philadelphia with a win. So.
With a win, but you know, with the way the standings work and the playoff format is, the Hurricanes are just 4 points out of a playoff spot. that's completely doable where we're at here in mid-December. And so a win tomorrow is huge, especially then heading back home and facing the team that's currently leading the Metropolitan Division at the time of this recording, the Columbus Blue Jackets at 19-11-1. That's 39 points in 31 games.
And that's a team that just got shellacked by the Edmonton Oilers as well. So,
and a team that the Hurricanes have defeated this year.
Yeah,
so.
And they played well against them this year.
Yeah.
All right, do you have one?
Yeah. We'll go well, I was going to go off hockey. We'll stick with hockey now. I have a feeling I know the answer to this, but if you like it, take it. If not, send it right back. The healthy scratching of Victor Rask did him well.
I'll take it. It did. I think it refocused him. I think it recentered him. Bill Peters talked about it. He needed to find that drive to be a hungry player again, and he's gotten right back to it. I mean, he scored in three consecutive games. He scored 4 goals in his last 10, and when you consider he had 3 goals in, what, his first 19? Yeah, I think it was something that did it for him, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's ever a bad idea if, you know, a player is maybe struggling to play up to the standard that you expect him to give him a game off, give him a couple games off to sort of just rest, refocus, look at the game from a different angle, look at some video of, hey, you know, this is what you're doing when you're successful versus this is what you've been doing. And I think what we've seen since Victor Rask has come back into the lineup is he's more engaged, he's more physical, and like you said, he's scoring goals, and that's what the Hurricanes are going to need from their young center, who they signed to a long-term contract. They're going to need him to be a contributor on a nightly basis, and lately we've seen that, and it looks like, you know, based on practice lines today, it looks like he might be centering Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen on Friday night in Buffalo. That's a line that can definitely create some offense.
Yeah, and that's what this team is looking for. They're going to need to continue to build that and build on that. All right.
And find some 5-on-5 scoring too, which is what I think, you know, the line should, when you look at moving around wingers here and there, Bill Peters and his staff are looking for more consistent 5-on-5 play and 5-on-5 scoring from the Hurricanes.
All right. If you like it, take it. If not,
send it right back.
I'm going to just throw this out. The celebrations in the NHL, they need to follow the NFL pattern and allow the guys a little bit more freedom to celebrate instead of the how dare you.
Well, I that's a mindset thing, I think, right? Like,
yep.
You know, because it's hockey players, I think, by nature are a little more
humble.
I don't want to say reserved because I don't.
No, team oriented.
Humble and
it's team first.
Right, because you know when you ask like we asked Victor Rask after the Anaheim game, you know what's been working for you since coming back into the lineup, and he said, you know, well, I'm skating a bit more than I was, but I also have to give credit to my line mates, Brock McGinn and Elias Lindholm. So it is that mindset of team first. Personality is a good thing. I like seeing personality. I think you know, PK Subban has a great personality, and he celebrated with a fist pump and from his he scored from center ice last night. And Phil DiGiuseppe dropping to the knee, doing his bow and arrow fist pump thing. I love it. I love seeing it. If you can score a goal in the National Hockey League, if you can make a move like that in the shootout, win a National Hockey League game, beat Marc-Andre Fleury, who's part of that 300-win club, and get the 300th win for your goaltender, celebrate away. I love it.
All right.
I take it all the way.
You said you had one that was off hockey. Bring it.
Yeah. So Gabriel's Gate.
It's a restaurant in Buffalo, New York. Yes.
Known for its wings.
Very much so.
If you do the Buffalo wings, it's mild, medium, or hot.
Yes.
So I guess my question is, what temperature do you do?
Medium.
You take medium?
Yes, because medium in Buffalo is hot everywhere else.
It is. I can confirm that. Yeah. I did a medium. Medium was perfect for me. I did hot. When were we here? A month ago?
November, yes.
I did hot
I think
then.
November 18th, if I recall.
And I was sweating profusely. And like it was way too hot.
Why didn't you consult me on this?
Well, here's the funny thing. The waitress actually told us, she was like, most people do medium, but a few others at the table ordered hot. So I was like, yeah, you know what? Go hot. Oh. And then I died.
How did it work out for you?
I died.
Yeah.
I mean, it was delicious, but I died.
But I'm going to warn everybody, hot here is not your normal hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I hear people, we have hot wings. Oh, okay. Sure you do. So
yeah, medium here is perfect. Had them last night. Probably gonna have them again tonight, to be honest with you.
You should.
So that's our food.
Oh, you just wanted me to take it? Yeah, I'll take it.
That's our food portion of the podcast.
I do like their hot wings from time to time, but I have to be in the mood for them. It's one of those things because you've got to get in the mind frame of knowing I'm gonna eat this. My taste buds are gonna be on fire for probably a good 45 minutes when this is done.
And you just gotta power through it.
But sometimes I like to eat stuff that makes me sweat. I like spicy food. I really do. And by the way, if we're going to talk chicken wings, this is the food portion of the podcast. Make it hot, but you can still taste the chicken wing.
Yeah.
Like when you get this stuff where it's like, this is the insidious ground up liquid of the hottest pepper ever known to man. If you eat it, it will blind you. Here you go. No, I've never had any fun eating that. Make sure that if you're ever in a place that is known for like hot food or something, ask the people who are serving it to you. They will tell you the right answer. They'll tell you what you need to know.
I should have listened to her.
And
she tried to warn us.
And don't ever order ranch.
Oh, I like ranch.
Not with chicken wings. You want to get a chicken sandwich and put ranch on it? You go right ahead. That's my compromise.
What's the difference though?
A lot. Chicken wings are served with blue cheese. I'm trying to make a compromise here for you. This isn't for me.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm taking the ranch and I'm sending the blue cheese back to you.
Oh, then don't order wings in Buffalo. Just actually, as the funny thing was, if I can go down this road on the podcast, we're here to help you out. The producer of the pregame show on TV who I work with, his name is Adam Holtzman. Thanks, guy. Adam Holtzman. Walked into, and he likes to try to stir the pot, and he doesn't do it very well, but he likes to try to do that. And he walked into Gabriel's Gate, and he goes, what could I ask that would offend people here? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you anything like that. So the waitress comes over, and he goes, do you have boneless wings? And she goes, no, we have chicken wings. And he's like, well, I want boneless wings. And she goes, well, I'm sure there's other places around the country that serve them, but we just have regular wings. She goes, if you want boneless wings, just get, do you call them chicken fingers or chicken tenders, or you call them both?
Yeah, both's fine.
So she goes, well, if you want boneless wings, we have them. They're called chicken fingers. Go ahead and get those.
And then you could just slather them in sauce.
Oh, absolutely. And he kind of looked and he goes, oh, I guess you're right. And I go, if you really wanted to offend her, you would have ordered ranch. And she goes, I would have kicked him out.
You know, ranch was ordered last night and we did not
get a side eye?
Nope. I didn't order it. Somebody else did.
I'm
not going to name names.
They got the side eye.
Yeah. She seemed happy to bring it. She was like, yeah, sure.
Who named names? Name names on this.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names. Might have been an athletic trainer.
All right. Well, they wouldn't know any better.
Let's, I want to go back to Vegas real quick because there were.
So do I.
Well, in discussions, there were a few hundred Hurricanes fans that made the trip out there. The team organized, a season ticket member sort of event out there. And I know there were more than a handful of fans who just came out for the game itself, just to see the Hurricanes play their first ever game in Vegas. The pregame event was really cool at a restaurant right near T-Mobile Arena. It was great seeing so many Hurricanes fans there. From my vantage point up on press row, there was a big section down on the lower level that had a lot of Hurricanes fans in it. They were loud.
A lot of Hurricanes fans came up to me in the pregame show, made their way down, which was awesome.
They were loud. Let's go Canes chants I heard a few times. When the Hurricanes scored, it was very cool hearing all of the fans cheer down there. So it was a really cool atmosphere, and a lot of credit to all the Hurricanes fans who made it out. Apologies if we didn't see you during our time there, but we saw quite a few.
Yeah, we did.
We saw quite a few. And I don't know, how it was from your standpoint, but from my vantage point on press row, I was really impressed with T-Mobile Arena. It was a Tuesday night. It was raucous at times. It was pretty full. It had some of the Vegas, I guess, cheese that you come to expect.
There's going
to
be showy aspects that is not for the hockey purist. You know, the pregame, you know, little ceremony thing where the knight pulls Excalibur out of the stone. I'm like, okay, we don't need all this.
Let's, the stone kind of looked like the poop emoji, if we're being honest. It was kind of show. It was a performance-based pregame introduction, but the fans went wild for it.
They did, and I got to give credit. People were wondering, is it going to work? I think hockey's going to work in Vegas.
Yeah.
And everybody we talked to, they were amped up about it. They're like, oh, you were the hockey team? Yeah, we can't wait. City's really rallied around it. And just walking around, I don't know if you noticed it, but Michael and I took a walk up and down the Vegas Strip. A lot of Golden Knights apparel that was to be seen and be shown.
Golden Knights apparel, Golden Knights branding here and there. We saw some ads on the boards that are, you know, really all over the Strip saying game day, game tonight, Golden Knights versus Hurricanes. And really, T-Mobile Arena is in just a great location on the Strip. I mean, you can go up and down the Strip pretty much all day and then basically just stumble right into the arena because it's right there on the Strip.
Yeah.
So really impressed with what we saw in Vegas for our first time there. And, you know, the kicker is, too, they've got a good team that's winning, and that always helps. The fans have really rallied around that team, and it's a great atmosphere. Some of our players mentioned it post-game, you know, just what an atmosphere it was. And so it was a lot of fun. It was even more special that the Hurricanes were able to come away, obviously, with the 2 points in a building where visiting teams don't often leave with victories. Yeah. I think only two other teams
They were 11-2.
11-2.
In 13 games, now they're 11-2-1 because of that.
There you go. All right, so before we get out of here, let's briefly look ahead. We'll try to come back with a new episode of Canes Cast on Monday, December 18th, the day that the team will be heading back on the road. This time, not for as long. We're just going to Toronto for a 2 p.m. game. So plan to take an early...
businessman special.
Yeah. That's a centennial game for the Maple Leafs. 100th anniversary, and I think there are going to be a ton of screaming kids in attendance. That'll be interesting. And then it's off to Nashville for a matchup with the defending Western Conference champion Nashville Predators on Thursday the 21st before coming back home, facing off with the Sabres once again in the final game before the 3-day Christmas break. So the Hurricanes will get some games at home here as we head towards the end of the month. That'll be good. And a chance for them, I think, to really start something. This is what the Hurricanes need to do. They got the win in Vegas. That helps them, you know, swing some momentum back their way. But now the challenge is to really start to string something together, because that's not what the team has done this season. I don't think the Hurricanes have won more than 2 games in a row, right?
Right.
So that's going to need to change. If this team is going to really make a climb in the standings and get back in the playoff picture. And maybe it can start, with a win in Buffalo on Friday and then heading back to Raleigh for a game against Columbus on Saturday.
Well, I mean, you've just hit the nail on the head, Michael. That's what has to happen. This team has to find a way to win 5 games in a row. I mean, that has to happen. I mean, just taking a look as, you know, this season has started, you go shootout, win, overtime, loss, loss. Win, win, loss, loss, win, loss. You can't do that. You have to string together 5-6 wins at a time. You can't go on. You can call them point. You know, well, we got points in 2 out of 4, but you have to get wins. And the longest winning streak of the season is 2. Well, the Canes have 1. They now need to find a way to make it 2 against Buffalo, and then 3 against Columbus, and then 4 against Toronto. And I mean, look, these games aren't easy. You know, Buffalo's starting to find themselves. They're getting healthier. So, you know, if you're the Canes at the time that you listen to this, the Canes Cast here, episode 21, somebody is seeing a Star Wars movie, somebody isn't. That's not a very good name for this podcast.
I'm seeing it, just not tonight.
Well, that's your business. You'll know all about it before you see it.
Nope.
Well, we'll see about that. But, you know, Buffalo is going to be a stiffer challenge than it was a month ago. Columbus is going to be sitting in Raleigh waiting for a team coming off of a 13-day road trip, 6 games. Oh, and it's a back-to-back. And then you've got Toronto and Nashville on the road. That's not easy. And, you know, Nashville's going to want to get a little payback on the Carolina Hurricanes. And then you get the Buffalo Sabres again. You know, good thing about that is you'll be familiar with the opponent. Bad news is it generally breeds contempt between the two sides. So that could be a little harsh. Hey, you get Montreal. That was good about a month ago. Now they got Carey Price back, and he looks a lot like Carey Price. Then the angry Pittsburgh Penguins, although I don't know what to expect out of them right now. You know, they're beat up on the blue line. But then you got to go and play St. Louis, one of the best teams in the West right after that. You know, this is a big stretch of games. It seems like how many times have we done the Canes cast, Michael? We're like, this is a big stretch of games for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, it is. It's a big stretch just because at some point the Hurricanes are going to need to string consecutive win streaks together or consecutive wins together in order to make a streak. And they're probably going to need to do it a couple of times from here to the end of the season. And they're going to have to avoid stretches, I think, like they had early on in this road trip where you might get a point here or there, but you're losing points overall. The good part about, you know, the first part of that road trip is that you're playing Western Conference teams. You're giving away some extra points, but it's to teams that ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter much. Now, when you're going to get into the meat of this schedule, where you're playing divisional teams like Columbus, like Pittsburgh, you're playing teams in the conference like Buffalo twice, like Toronto, like Montreal. That's when you need to make sure you take care of business, get your 2 points, and leave it at that. Don't make it a 3-point game. So, yeah, another big stretch coming up for the Hurricanes, and it should be fun. We'll see what happens.
All right, that'll do it for this episode 21, Raiders of the Lost Voice.
We could play on it all day.
If you want.
The Voice, but not really.
We could call it The Voice. Not exactly. Nobody's turned their chair around. Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it. We didn't say this until right now. For the Web's Michael Smith.
Oh, yeah. And TV's Mike Maniscalco, who has somewhat of a voice.
Thank you. Say goodbye.
See you later. Bye.